Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must-listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Welcome to the We Are Women podcast. I am Janine Vosper, your host. Today I have Ash Batty with me. Now, Ash is with Emerald HQ, and that supports business owners to build teams that actually work, the kind where people share their values, take ownership, and grow with the business. Emerald HQ focuses on hiring the right people the first time. Oh, that's so impressive. After being in senior management roles and hiring people for 20 years, Ash, I know when it's important just to not waste time and get it right. They organize HR admin that sets up for the long-term success, leadership support that helps you step out from being the employee and into a role of leader in your business, and defining and embedding culture that attracts and keeps the right people. Everything EHQ, so Emerald HQ, does is real world, people first, practical, and built for small businesses. Founded by Ash, Chief Hiring Nerd, I love the way you positioned that, and hiring and leadership partner, Emerald HQ's work combines clarity, culture, and confidence to create trusted teams and sustainable success. Emerald HQ's focus is ultimately on supporting women to build with intention a business that they enjoy and a life they love, whatever success looks like for them. Welcome, Ash. Now, that's about your business. We're going to learn a lot more about you personally.
Right. <well. laughs> Should I be scared?
Oh, absolutely. I'm interrogation. And that's, look, you are the face of your business. Mm-hmm. This is something that's really important, isn't it? And as somebody who focuses on the branding, the personal branding, this is what I talk to people about all the time. You are the face of the business, and people will connect with you and then work through the business and work with your teams as well. Yes. Yeah, we're going to learn a bit more about you. And first part is, so why? Why HR? Why do you do what you do?
Well, that's a big question in itself. So I have a career in HR. I have my bachelor's degree in HR. Funnily enough, when I was younger, I wanted to be an architect when I grew up. But it was too much time at uni for me and too much science. I just wanted to, I don't know, for someone who's not really a people person, I am always fascinated with people. So I did a human resources degree and went into a career in recruitment and HR coordination. Like many women in business, when I became pregnant and took time off with kids, a career in recruitment doesn't really align with being the primary parent and being home. And so I took that opportunity to start a business, but I started my business as a resume writer and then transitioned into a virtual assistant before transitioning again into doing what I do now. And, you know, it's a long-winded answer as to, you know, I could have stayed a resume writer, I could have stayed a VA, but it was never enough for me. I wanted to be able to create real impact for women in business in particular, to build successful businesses of their own, to be able to grow teams so that they could have a larger business, so that they could have a more streamlined business and have a successful business. Again, whatever success looks like for them. But hiring and HR and leadership, those are all skills that, unless you've done it before, you don't know it. You don't know what you don't know. And so it was one area that a lot of clients that I was dealing with, even as a VA, they didn't know how to do that. And I'm sitting there going, but I know how to do this. I could help you with this, but you're using me for this, but I could help you with this.
Yes.
And so what we really want to do is support women to build successful businesses, build with intention, businesses that they love, businesses that they enjoy, so they can have a life they love, and teach them how to do that. Ultimately, that's why we do what we do.
And that's a great response to that. And I think a lot of people listening will really be able to relate to that. Starting a family, what am I going to do? It's funny you mentioned about architect. I know when I had young children, I thought, now what am I going to do? And I thought, oh, an architect, what a great idea. Now that was never going to happen, but it was something to go, what's next? And this is where a lot of people go, how can I contribute? But and that contribution is not just financially to the family, but that contribution is to ourselves, that what's going to feed our soul and how we can feel that we have purpose and we're useful. And there's certainly nothing wrong with the purpose and being useful raising children, but there's often another thing that we need to be able to do as well to bring that to life. So well done with that progression as what also from one to the next to go, no, this is what I want to do.
Yeah, and just to be able to go, okay, that's not enough. That's not actually letting me have that impact that I know that we could have for women in business. And what else could we do to actually support them more?
And HR is a really interesting part of business that people, as you said, when you were doing those other roles, people don't recognize that the value of that. I know when I was GM for a large first aid supply company, and I had the sales team, which were commission only based, which is a really interesting aspect. Then there was the admin team who had to deal with what the sales team in those days wrote on their invoices, and then the warehouse team had to deal with the expectations of the sales team getting the stuff, the products out. And it was very interesting because people have their own priorities, and ensuring that when you are the leader in a business, that you understand that people have got different priorities. How you then get everyone working towards the same goal. And as a woman who might have a great idea for a business and starts a business, needs people on their team, figuring out how they do that without any experience, it is. It's a job.
It really is. And as you say, it's one that people don't know how to do. It's not something they're taught. They might have come from an employment background and started this business either because of family or because they had this great idea. But there's so many things, like even for me when I started my business, social media and accounting and all these things that I'm like, oh, I suddenly am supposed to know how to do all these things with having a business that I just thought I could get in and do my business. Like, all of the stuff behind the scenes, we don't know how to do that. But when it comes to growing in that next stage, leaders don't know how. They don't know how to lead without having done it before. And even then, it's not always the case that they know how to do it. They might have that title. That's a whole other conversation. But wanting to support people in how to do that so that they can build successful businesses. And funny you say, with people have, different teams have different priorities in their business. That is one of the things that we've really worked with our clients on is building that clear vision for the business and having everyone on board with what that vision is. Everyone that they hire is really clear on that vision, what the mission is, what the values of the business are, so that everyone is on that same big picture page. The day-to-day will be different depending on different teams and different roles, but where that business is going, it's all in the same direction and working towards that same overarching goal. So then it's easier to be on the same page day to day as well, in theory.
So while we're on that topic, how do you do that?
Well, that's a big question, isn't it? So that is one of the things we do teach in our business with our clients. We have a three-part framework that we teach people how to build with intention a business they enjoy. And the key part of that is developing their vision. Where do they want their business to go? And it's not just, what the vision is to write it down and say, okay, tick, done. Like so many businesses do when it comes to, okay, we need to, do our 5-year plan. Is our vision still right? Okay, yep, tick done, but it's really looking at what is the why of our business overall? What is the purpose of our business? What are we aiming to do? What do we want to be known for? And so that does become the vision statement, but it is really integral in the way that we run our business day to day. It's embedded into all of our processes. Our decision making is based on, well, are we working towards that goal of where we want to go? And are our boundaries in place for that as well? As women in business, we're so good at just saying yes to everything, right? And it is a bit of an auto response, even as women in general. We just say yes. And then afterwards, we're like, oh, what have I done? I actually don't have time to do that. And then we have to say no to something else. So having that clear vision means that we can set really clear boundaries. And then we can have our team and our systems in place so that we can actually work towards where we're going. And when you have a team, you're developing that vision in line with, the team engagement and things like that. But a lot of small businesses start solo, so they're developing that, and then they're bringing people in that complement that. You don't have to hire clones, but people that engage with what you're doing and are really invested in it. And when you do that, you have a more engaged team that is going to want to pick goals for you, basically.
And that's the component. That's the trick of it, isn't it? Is to get the staff invested in what you're doing. I mean, some of the bigger companies literally get the staff invested financially in what they're doing, so they're all working towards the success of that particular business. You brought up a topic that we often talk about here on the podcast, and that's those women's being able to set boundaries, because that is just such a difficult space. You step into a business, as you said, you've got all of these other components coming in, and then you've got to learn what to prioritize and what you need to say no to. But if you don't, then the whole house of cards can collapse.
Definitely, definitely. I have young kids, and so it's very much, oh, I've just said yes to that. What do I have to give up to be able to actually accommodate that? And it's always back to that I have to give something up to make space for that. Because as women in general, our days are usually fairly stacked. They're usually pretty full with all the things we have going on. Whatever our situation is, we've all got things on, and to take something else on means we have to drop something. So how, yeah, what drops to be able to do that? It's a skill in itself.
And a lot of women tend to drop things like their fitness, their health, their personal time, their time doing things that they enjoy, and all the focus goes back into the business. And that can be sustainable for a short term, but it's not certainly not sustainable.
That's right. Yeah. And to be completely honest, I am a work in progress. So I do teach women about these boundaries. But I am a work in progress. So what you've just said is exactly right. The first thing to go for me is sleep, because I can't create more hours in the day. So I have to use the hours that are there. And the only way to do that is to stay up later or get up earlier. And then as you say, that's things like that. When you drop that time for yourself, even just to sleep, it's not sustainable. You can't do it forever. And so for me, that's something I've really tried to focus on this year, is always realigning with my vision. And by vision, again, I don't just mean that written statement that we say because we have to, but what I'm actually trying to do here, both for my business and for why I have a business and didn't just go and get a real job that I could work 9 to 5 or whatever, but it's why I've got a business so I can be present for my kids. And if I've said yes to something that's going to take me away from my kids, what am I actually doing this for? And so it's always revisiting that vision for my business and that vision for my life as well, that helps me set boundaries and stick to those boundaries, or tell myself off if I've let it
And none of us are perfect. We all let things drop. But that is really so important. One is to identify what is the priority in your life, And as you said, you've got young kids. That certainly makes it a much higher priority. Before we came on and started the interview, we started talking about, my grandkids and our travel. The age of my grandkids now, of course I want to be around them and I do a lot of things with them. But the travel is a bigger priority at the moment. And you just fit it in and you adapt to it. But life changes all the time, and figuring out what is your priority and what part you may have to do that when you're first building a business is put in a couple of years of I'm missing out on this, but I know in the long run it'll be worthwhile. I remember listening to a story many years ago of a young guy, only 18, and started buying taxis and taxi licenses. And he, by the time he was 30, he had something like 18 taxis licenses, and he retired. I can't imagine he really would have retired with an entrepreneurial spirit like that, but he had
Yes.
the capacity. So his friends were saying, "You're missing out on drink nights. You're missing out on this. You're missing out on," and he didn't get married or anything. And by the time he was 30, that I was aware of, but that missing out is only for a short period of time to create what, something for him was something very special. So it's
That
adapting, isn't it?
Yeah, and sometimes it doesn't even have to be the mindset of, oh, I'm missing out. It can just be, that mindset shift of, well, this is my focus right now. So maybe it's I'm privileged to be able to focus on this at the moment, even if that means that I can't do it all. And that is something that I do struggle with because I have a degree and I was working my way up in business, to be a team leader and a manager and, work my way up in that, and then to sort of go to be, on demand for tiny humans all the time and not use that brain. So there's always that drive to want to do more. But sometimes it is just, well, I can't do it all, but I'm really privileged that I have created this life that I get to do this. And so it's just a mindset shift and sometimes just some kind words to ourselves that what we have is enough.
I love the way that you've reframed that it's a mindset focus on now how privileged we are to be able to do what we can do and what we have capacity to do, and rather than focusing on what we're missing out on. Just before our interview, I just had a conversation with my son and his partner, tore a calf muscle this morning at the gym, and it's not going to be pretty with her not being able to do anything for 2 months. It's because she's just so active, and it's that. And she'll be okay. She's not in a great space at the moment, but she will be okay. But because she can do that, shift that mindset into what can I be doing? Otherwise, there's other things that in my life that are working so well. It does make such a big difference to how you frame something.
It really does. It
I
does.
love
Sometimes it's hard to stick to it sometimes, but
it.
again,
Especially when you get something like that happen,
it's
or
just
that big challenge comes at
a
you, and you go, okay, what do I need here? And again, sitting back, what's my vision? What am I trying to create? And where am I going to put my focus and attention?
Those
Because we
regular.
tend to get more of what we put our focus on.
Sometimes that's hard when it comes to finances and things. Like my financial goal is to win lotto, but I need to buy lotto tickets. But it's so true. What you put out is what you get back.
I don't buy the lotto tickets either, so it's a bit hard for me to win, but that would be something. I keep buying the Art Union homes. That's sort of,
Oh, yes.
yeah, most of them are on the Gold Coast. They're pretty handy to me, so I thought,
Oh,
well,
perfect.
that will work. When it comes to just shifting thoughts a bit, because again, I think one of the most sensible things that any woman can do in business is hire other people to do the jobs that you don't want to be doing or don't have the time to be doing or can't do it as well as somebody who's got the expertise in it. And that comes back to, what we're just talking about, trying to find priority and time for yourself. If you get somebody else to do it, you can take a job away. But how do you plan you know, what you're going to be doing and what you're needing and who do you need to put in your in. I know with me, the first person that I hired was a bookkeeper because that just made a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
And the other next one's a VA because she does a lot of things that I just don't have time for. And because I've had it for so many years now, I'll see posts come up. And I go, that was really good. Oh, that's me. It's mine.
Look at me go.
It's creative. But that was my priorities, those two, to give me time was to do that. So how do women let go, and then how do they make sure that they're just not hiring in a panic?
Well, this is, I have to be a little bit careful here because this is something I could talk about like for the entire day. So I have to be a little bit careful about how much I ramble here. Essentially, again, it comes back to your overarching vision, what you want for your business, and really connecting with that. And then firstly, defining your own role within your business. What should your role as leader of your business look like? And the leader of your business, when people hear that, you know, like, for example, for me, when I hear the word entrepreneur, I don't connect with that. I think of entrepreneur and I think of someone who has created a product or this amazing new initiative, not just any business owners. And so I know that other people feel the same way about CEO or leader of their business. And so it's finding a word firstly that fits for you, but that you are the leader of your business, whether you have a team yet or not. You need to lead your business, not let your business lead you. And so you need to define your role within that before you can define any other roles that come under that. So looking at what sits with you, what it is that you have to do, only you can do, no one else can do for you. Or even sometimes, especially as you're growing, the things that you do enjoy doing, even if they don't have to sit with you, but know that they sort of sit separately. So when your time is getting a bit short, those are the things that drop because you don't have to be the one doing them. But then that leaves all these other things that you don't have to do that someone else can do for you. And you sort of break that list down into different grouped tasks. Like if you broke down all the tasks in your business, there would have been multiple that related to bookkeeping that made that a really obvious thing to go, all right, see you later. Don't need any part of that. And that bookkeeping role was really obvious that that's what you needed. And a VA is usually the first step that many business owners take on as that first outsource, that first role that they bring into their business. And so it's looking at, well, do I need one VA or do I need someone who does social media, someone who does lead generation, someone who does admin, you know, general admin things, but breaking down all those like for like tasks and seeing what that looks like. Because otherwise we do hire in panic and go, I just need some help in my business. This is what we do. Who wants to help? And we end up just totally unclear on what that person is even doing, and that doesn't set them up for success or the business up for success to be able to work together because it hasn't been defined before you've put it out there. So that first step is defining the role before you put it out there, and sometimes that changes what you need. Then you think you have an idea of what you need, but until you start actually listing all the things out, and that it's a big list, everything we do in our business, it's a big list. So breaking it down into that, and that means we have clarity on what we're looking for, and we can be really clear when we're putting it out there what person would suit that role, who would thrive in this role, and embedding again what we want to be known for in terms of our values and our vision and our behaviors, to make sure that we're not just getting someone who ticks the boxes, who's going to sign on, do some stuff and sign off at the end of the day, but someone who's really excited about what we're building here and wants to be a part of it as well. So that can do the stuff, but is excited to do the stuff as well.
Yeah, that's a really important factor. Is it's just that, and everyone's got a right to work 9 to 5, but it is that enthusiasm and the belief that you're working towards a goal and being part of it. That what you were, you know, saying makes a whole lot of sense. And every stage of the business needs to do that as well, don't they? Because I was just before we came on here, I was talking to someone who's got a small to medium flourishing business, but they've got ambition to take it further and build something a bit different. So where they are now, and they've got a great culture and they've got a great team, and but where they are now is one thing, but what do they need now? What help do they need to look at further? It was interesting. She said, well, I sort of know what you do, but what I was talking to her then again about WordPress and a whole lot of things that are totally unrelated to what I do. And I said, well, I've been doing it for 30 years. I'm not the expert in SEO under any circumstances, but I can look at something and go, I can show you how to do it. So it's a different space to do that, you know, and that's what she needed, was someone to show her how to do it so she could do it.
Yes.
Yeah, but figuring out that, okay, that's what I can do, or will I get someone else to do it totally? And it's how much hands-on and hands-off that you want.
Yes, and that fits going back to boundaries and time and capacity and how much, you know, we might have a list of stuff that, yeah, I want to give that a go for a while, but ultimately I know that that shouldn't sit with me. It's not something that I have to do to grow my business and to run my business, but it is something that my business needs to do. I'm going to try it out for a while, and so that I can get my head around how it works and why it's important and how it all connects. But I know that if I get too busy and I don't have the capacity anymore, then I pass that on to someone else.
Definitely. That makes me think about a lady I worked with bought a print business, and she had the print team, and she really wasn't aware of anything around printing, and she had a salesperson working for her. Wendy came and did a sales training course with me, and then realized the salesperson wasn't doing a very good job. And she was, Wendy was a terrible nervous seller, and so we don't have to sell. There's other ways I work through things. We're not selling. We get about selling. And now she has been a business development manager for other businesses and her own business now, and in building print after selling that print business, because just learning the skills in that and going, well, I actually do like this as well. It's moved into something different. But the point that I want to make is she realized that staff member, because she got the skills from Guy, I'm paying someone who's not doing a good job.
Yeah. It's hard. I suppose that's for smaller businesses. We sort of start off by doing it ourselves anyway, or sort of knowing what needs to be done. And so we're a lot more connected to it than with those next size up businesses where there might be a few lines in between, or, you know, I need this person to do this. I have no idea what it does, but I know that I need it, and not having that oversight of what it actually looks like in practice. Whereas the smaller businesses, they've either done it or have looked into it enough to go, okay, I can't do this, so I need someone to do it, but they have an understanding of what it should look like SEO. Yeah. I get the concept of it, but for me to be the one to actually do it would take me a lot longer.
Definitely. Bookkeeping.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, another one of those things. You start talking numbers and I'm like, oh, my brain's left building.
Absolutely. And when you are hiring in a panic, you can make the wrong choice because you just want to get somebody in doing it. I was, again, this client, he said, I need someone doing this and this and this. And he ended up never putting people on because he was too busy to get people engaged, but he didn't know what he wanted. Then I could see that's the sort of scenario when someone just goes, oh, I'll just hire anyone.
Yes. And it's so common. It's so, so common. People leave it until it's too late, basically. So they end up hiring from panic and not connecting with what they really need. Like speaking before about defining exactly what they need, they skip that step. And they put up an advert, or they take a friend of a friend who someone said, oh, this person needs some work, and they're from a completely unrelated field, but it's a body in the role. And they hire out of panic, and then a month, 2 months, 6 months later, they're like, why is this not working out? I hired someone to get some help, but it's not working. And they're surprised. So that is what we work with clients on a lot, is again, that clarity first. Without that clarity, you're not going to get either even the right role, let alone the right person for that role. So it's clarity first, candidate second, to be able to actually get the right fit for what you need. Just because you saw someone was advertising for a particular role doesn't mean that's the role that you need in your business. So you need clarity on what your business actually needs so that we can hire the right person, not just the first available person.
Like, and I think that's what we're going to keep coming back to, is just hiring the right person and then letting go of things without feeling any guilt, because we know what we want to create.
Yes. Yeah. Funnily enough, I have a client who she was looking to hire her first VA, and she was really having trouble letting go. She's like, I know that I need to do this. I know that I can't keep doing all the things. I need to bring someone on, but I'm just really struggling with how to let go. How do I delegate? And I use her as an example, because she ended up hiring a VA, and 2 weeks later, she ended up in hospital with an unexpected emergency, and she was in hospital for a couple of weeks and then has been in and out of hospital since then. So her VA got absolutely thrown in the deep end. But what we'd been working on before then was documenting her processes and listing out all the things that she needed to let go of. And so she had started with a list. And so even just that helped to be able to, for this VA to just sort of get in there and, you know, plug holes essentially until she could come out. And so obviously we don't recommend ending up in hospital, but it was sort of the kick up that she needed to be able to delegate, because then when she was back on board, she's like, okay, that wasn't so bad. That wasn't the scariest thing that happened at that point in time. And so, okay, now I know that I can let go of this. What else can I also let go of? So don't recommend.
Oh, not the way you want a lesson like that.
No, but the lesson there is that sometimes we just have to start. Sometimes we just have to let go. So it's document, you know, the boring side of being a business owner is documenting your processes. They don't have to be fancy. It can just be dot points to say, this is the process that we do and this is basically how we do it, so someone else can pick it up and then we can start to let go. And the thing I come back to when I'm teaching people here is trusting that you've brought the right person on. So sometimes it's hard to trust other people with our baby, this business that we've built. It's really hard to let go. But if you turn that around to say, well, I brought that person on and I trust myself, otherwise I wouldn't be in this business. So again, a mindset shift of, maybe I don't trust them yet, but I trust that I've made the right decision for my business. I know what I want my business to do, and I've brought on the right person to help me do that. So I need to let go, to let them do what I've brought them on to do. Again, it's a work in progress. We don't just magically go, okay, I'm going to let go today.
Yes, for someone who, you know, control is their second name, letting go is, but what I have learned over the years is that there's a lot of people that do a lot of things better than I do, and being able to let go. I am the organizer. Things will fall on me, but I have also now learned to be a very good delegator. I'm happy to be the organizer, but I'm just not going to do the work. Here we go. And let someone else do it and just accept how it's done. I think I learned that mostly when my sons were about 5 and 7, and they, you know, I'd say, go and help. They were always very tall. Can you go and take the washing off the line? And then one of them cracked up and said, why should we have to do that? And it was your washing. Gone, you know, that's a very good idea. What I'm going to do now is enable you to do your own washing. And then you can wash, hang it out. I'll do sheets and towels. You don't have to do that. It's just your own washing. And they thought it was a good deal for a couple of weeks and then realized it wasn't such a good deal. But you know, and how, and make your own beds, and how they were all done. It was okay, just close the door.
Yes. Yeah.
Close the door. It was
teaching my 5-year-old at the moment is how to make her bed. And I'm like, oh, I just really want to fix it, but great job. Thank
yes.
you for your bed.
Close the door. It's yeah, and it is. It's I'm like another granddaughter who's 7. She doesn't make the bed at home or do anything, but when she comes here, I said the most important thing we do is make the bed, and she does a really good job of it as well. But it's given that responsibility to her, and she loves it. It's yeah. part, and that's what I think. What a lot of people miss. Don't realize when they don't hand over work to other people or they don't delegate, they're disabling the other person. They're not giving them the credit and the capacity to be able to, and recognition that they can take over. And that's all part of the culture too, isn't it, Ash?
Yeah, right. And so taking that step further and not just delegating, like, this is the big project, you can do task 3, 5, and 7 within it, but giving them things that they can actually take ownership of, that they can take sole responsibility of, and at the end of it go, I did that. I made the bed, you know, whatever it is, but in business as well, that they can take ownership of, that it's something that they can be proud of afterwards. It's something that they can use their initiative and their creativity to take it further. So it might be a simple project that you start with, but you give them the creative license to get on with it, as long as you get the outcome that you need. How they get there is up to them, you know, to a certain degree. Obviously, with things like bookkeeping, going back to that example, there's certain things that have to be done, but how that person manages their time or how they set up their day, whatever, that process is up to them. You don't need to be a part of that, as long as you get the outcomes that you need, and allowing them to take ownership of that responsibility, that role within the business, means that they feel more recognized, they feel more engaged with the business, and they're like, oh, what else can I do? What's next? What else can I dig into?
I do a lot of speaking around different groups, and what, you know, things like Rotary or Probus and different community groups, and what they are all saying is that they can't get the young people engaged. What I'm seeing with that is the Gen Zs want to have a task, a purpose, that they'd not necessarily micromanaged and given individual tasks, but more of a project to do. And as you said, have creative license to be able to go and do it. And that's one of the things I was talking at a community group a while ago, suggesting that was how they, because everyone will go, we can't get young people engaged. And it's, so what do you need to be doing differently to do that?
I could ask that question at all different stages of business and life of, well, you know, I see it quite regularly when it comes to hiring. Oh, we can't get any staff. Like, well, there's a common denominator in this equation, and it's you. Have you looked at what you're doing instead? And so, yeah, for young people and getting them engaged, it's exactly the same. Well, what can we be doing differently? How can we lead differently? How can we mentor differently and guide differently to let them have a go, basically?
Yes, and that, because, you know, a lot of the schooling that they've done is a lot more of that. This is not detailed how to do it, just get it done and figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
Problem solving. So yes, it's definitely, as you said, different capacity in different places in business, the individuals, because everyone that works differently. That's a question. Do you use any particular form of profiling so people can pop the right people in the right jobs as well?
Not really. I am hesitant with different profiling tools and things like that. I am a big fan of them, but I'm a fan of them for management purposes. And I find when we bring them in at the recruitment stage, people use it as a confirmation bias tool instead.
Okay.
So it's a whole other conversation probably. So I think they're really important tools, but They're hard to use at the recruitment stage for those that are not experienced in using them because we just pull out different parts of it and go and either use it as a reason not to hire someone or use it as a reason to hire someone and miss all the other stuff, whatever the one way or the other is. So it is something that I am hesitant for in the recruitment stage, and instead we focus on making sure that the person that we're supporting the client to bring on is really aligning with their culture. So making sure they're really clear again on their vision and their values, and making sure that that is embedded into the recruitment process. So from job description, advert, interview questions, it's embedded all the way through. So we're not just testing, yes, they tick the boxes and can logistically do the job, but that they fit into the attributes that the role needs, but also fit into or complement the culture and the work environment that we're building here. So we focus more on that approach because that differs for every business. And so we customize that approach to that business.
That makes a lot of sense, and it's the right fit for the right position in the right business. That, yeah, absolutely. We've used the word culture a lot, and when I first started working in the dark ages, that they there was no such thing as culture, and there was no such thing as anyone considering leadership styles. I know I had a boss that used to bellow my name from one end of the business to the other. So I intentionally started ignoring him because that was not my appropriate way for him to reach out to me. That was when I was 15. And I wouldn't stand for it. I just went. And
We learn
I
along the way.
yeah, absolutely. But it's, yeah, but culture now is, it is a bit of a buzzword, isn't it?
It is, yes. And I guess what it comes to is that, people will take a job because it's going to let them pay their bills. But that's not the reason they stay with a job. That's not the reason they perform well in a job. That's not the reason that they tell all their friends that this is a great place to work. So their bills are paid, but that's about it. It's the culture behind that that is the reason that they tell their friends when there's a job opening, or they share about their business that they're working with on social media and share more about the business and actually do play a part in growing that business. And when it comes to culture, there's still this mentality that culture is barbecue or pizza Fridays and tick, done. Like we've brought everyone together, we throw some food at them, we're good here. But actually, what people are wanting is more of a feedback culture, and open communication, and being recognized and knowing that they are allowed to ask questions and that they'll get actual answers, and that there's expectations within the business, not just I expect you to, black and white, harsh, aggressive, but expectations for both sides so that everyone has clarity on what everyone's role in the business is and what the business does. It's really clear in all of those things. So it's transparency, communication, recognition, teamwork, all those things play a part in what your overall culture looks like, as opposed to here's some food.
Yes, and communication is probably the most important asset out of all of that. Ash, before we wrap up, we always ask for three takeaways that we want people to remember. So, what do you want people to remember the most?
Probably for me, the biggest takeaway that I say is that hiring isn't just about finding help, but about finding the right person the first time for your business, and that will be different for every business. And that, we sort of finished talking about culture, but that culture doesn't happen by accident. Culture happens in every conversation. Again, it's that communication. So it's every conversation, every decision, every interaction, every boundary that you set. And on that point, the third one is what we started talking about mostly in the beginning, is that building a business you enjoy and a life you love, it starts when you know where you're going. So that vision that we started talking about, when you have clear boundaries that let you work towards that vision and that you have a team and systems that support you to achieve that vision, is probably the key takeaways for me. Hiring culture and building a business you enjoy.
Yeah, all absolutely vital when it comes to having a business where you've got other people working for you.
Yeah,
so important. Ash, if people want to find out more about what you do and how you do it, how do they get in touch?
So we are Emerald HQ. So you can find us at our website, emeraldhq.com.au. You can find us on Instagram, where we share a bit more about real life. So you'll get a lot more real life insights on Instagram, or we have a weekly LinkedIn newsletter and LinkedIn insights as well.
Excellent. That's how we connected, was on LinkedIn, isn't it? Yeah. Absolutely. Look, I found that so insightful, and I'm sure the listeners have, whether they've got people working for them or not, but it's part of that self-evaluation leadership and for an individual as well. I do appreciate what you've been able to share.
Thank you so much for having me on. I've really enjoyed it.
It's been a whole lot of fun. Thanks, Ash. And I will have all Ash's details in the show notes, so you'll be able to discover that. That is another episode of the We Are Women podcast. Remember, if you are not sure about what steps you're taking in your business, to go to JeaneVosper.com and book a strategy call. I guarantee, and I say this every single podcast, if I can't assist you, I know a lot of people who I can direct you towards. Have a fabulous day, week, month, wherever you may be in the world. Remember to leave a review. I'd love to hear from you. And just enjoy what you're doing and enjoy your business. Bye-bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Jeanine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.